Europeans into a new Europe, the podcast about inspiring projects
all over Europe with Jana,
José,
Paula,
Roxana.
Hello everyone, welcome back. I know it's a long time since you've heard my voice. I'm very happy to be back. Today I'm bringing you an interview I recorded a few weeks back when I was in Spain, and I had the opportunity to interview this very inspiring woman from Poland. And I guess if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be here recording this podcast, because she's so inspiring and her story really motivated me. So I decided to share it with you and I hope you like it. Today with me I have Anna, who's a psychologist and works with both young and adult people with disabilities at Rydell Foundation, helping promote the integration of these people in society. She has also developed a very unique project that I really want you to hear about that combines both photography, culture, art, and color to help boost one's self-confidence. And the project is entitled Feeling of Beauty. Dorota Anna Milke, hello.
Hello, everybody.
First of all, I wanted to ask you, how did you first get in touch with youth work and how has it impacted your life so far?
Okay, for many years I was a manager in big company, but my son needed support more than the others, and it was difficult for me to be a normal worker and a mother who supports my child that I need to decide. It was not easy process, but I quit my job. I hadn't got idea what to do, but I would like to have more time to support him. He's deaf, that rehabilitation, verbal rehabilitation is busy, needs a lot of time to do it. And one of my friends told me that maybe I should open the organization. And I heard about European projects, that it exists some funds that we can apply for them and send youngsters abroad to see other people, to meet other people, to see other countries, to have connections. And I really dream about it. But, you know, step by step, I opened the organization and I started to do it. And next February 2023, it will be 10 years of Rydell Foundation. And I think we are one of the biggest, maybe not the biggest one, but one of the stronger that support especially deaf and hard of hearing youngsters at the international level. And the truth is that after 10 years, I'm really proud about the results because a lot of them exist and they have normal life. They met really a lot of friends from the whole Europe and whole the world. Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
And do you think it's also special that you are able to bring these opportunities to these people that are maybe a bit more disadvantaged than others? And do you think it's hard for them or for you to bring these opportunities to them? And like, how was the process?
You know, I think that it's about the society, people, afraid people with disabilities. And most of us thinking that when we can meet them, they can learn a lot from us, but it's totally not true. It was happened many times on the evaluation meeting, on the end of some activities, that normal people, but I don't like this word, healthy people coming, and they can said me thank you because I learn so much.
Yeah, we learn from each other.
Yes, each other, but no, normally it's like that, that they are not with us. If the integration process is working well, they are. But in many society, they are just
segregated or distanced.
Yes, it's not in the middle, just in the back, or they are at the homes. That so far, many people, they are totally surprised that the sign language is not one in the world, that each country has their own sign language. And it's still absolutely surprised for many. When you live, for example, with the person on the wheelchair in one room and you can observe how difficult it's to go to the bathroom, you're starting to be really thankful that you are healthy.
Yeah, definitely.
That a lot of things you can do just, you know, don't even think that you can do it. You're just doing it. How many power and motivation do you need to do something? To go, for example, to university, to your job. It's logistic. It's not so easy to go by bus. For us, it's...
Yeah.
You are going by bus. It's nothing. I know a lot of people, and the truth is that they inspire me a lot. Because if I can feel that, for example, I cannot do something, I just remember a lot of people that for them, it's not possible to do it, but they're doing it. Mm-hmm. But for me, it should be not so special. That really...
It makes you more grateful, I think.
Yes, and my job is... I always try to mix groups, even in the local level, when we are going, not to have only group with the people with disabilities. Mix them, because it's integration in the basic level. Yeah. They can support each other on the logistic when we are going to the airport to by train. They need support.
And also get used to one another, because probably like one of the reasons why there's little integration is because a lot of, well, so-called normal people or like people without disabilities, they are not much in contact with people who have some type of disability, being mental or physical, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, after that, it's all... I didn't know that she could be so fantastic. She has fantastic, interesting, and it's really, really that we're afraid to have contact because we're afraid how our behavior will be.
Yeah.
But the truth is that we haven't got knowledge how to
approach
these
people.
How to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, they are like us, but they need a little bit logistic or communication support. That's all.
I actually have something related to this. I have a question for you, because I mean, you are not my age, you're not in your 20s, and you speak amazing English, and a lot of people your age would maybe like be afraid and feel like as outsiders as well, and distanced from like an international project, because they feel afraid of their English skills, because they don't either they don't know or they don't want to. Or the little English that they know, they don't think it's enough, and they don't think they're capable of communicating. Like, how has been the journey for you, and what would you say to these people who are like feel afraid to connect with others?
Please remember that I'm working with deaf.
Mm-hmm.
If the hearing people are afraid to use English, it's a joke for me. It's a stupid for me, because they have possibility to speak and communicate, and I know a lot of deaf people that they need to learn English. They need to learn to speak, and they are speaking English. They're really afraid to go abroad and speak. That all hearing people, that they're afraid, it's like a joke for me.
Yeah. But what would you recommend to these people who like, you don't know, like if you have someone to help, they ask someone like to translate?
You know, thank you for the comments that my English is amazing. It's not. I think that my grammar, like a test, could be a disaster.
But language is communication. And
yes, that I totally don't care about it. I'm starting to talk, and I'm not thinking that I'm using good grammar or not. I would like to just communicate. Mm-hmm. And the most important for me is the result, if I communicate or not. That's the first one. The second one, I think, we would like to be ideal, perfect, that if we have intermediate English, that means that no, I need to learn more because I need to speak perfectly or everything. No, we need to. And I think Erasmus Plus, youth exchanges, trainings help a lot, because we haven't got contact, the truth is, with the English people. True is that for the youth exchanges, it's like a Spanish people, German people, Hungarian
English.
People, Polish people, and Italian people.
Mm-hmm.
They all use different kind of English. And who cares?
Yeah.
That's the reason that really international projects support you to learn and speak English, because all of them, all of us, they are not native. And the mistakes are existed, but nobody cares. And I think nobody even can catch this mistake, that it's a very good way to learn English.
Now I would like to ask you a little bit more about this project that you created, The Feeling of Beauty. You told me a little bit about it and how you use photography and other methods to change the perception of people in how they feel about themselves. Can you describe to me how this came about?
I'm a psychologist and I work my thesis about self-confidence almost 30 years ago. And my passion is photography. Mm-hmm. I really like to take my photos, camera, go for a walk. It's delete from me, from the reality. It's some kind of meditation for me. And I start to make a photo to the people. I like to observe via camera people. And I start to observe them and their behavior. We started to be friends. Mm-hmm. Via camera. But it's a very something special one. It needs time and credibility and trustful between person who make a photos and the other who are just behind the lens. When I start to take care about the photography as a photography, I recognize that it's about technique, about what kind of camera do you have, what kind of lens do you have, what kind of program to retouch, to reproduce the photo it is. And it was nothing about emotions of models or the people they are behind the cameras. And even more, the photographers don't care about it. Mostly they're working with models. Mm-hmm. That they're paying them. It's a job.
Yeah.
That for them, they have some needs. Don't care about how the person feel because they're paying. I started to observe people and observe the emotion, the process of changing. People starting to be natural, people starting to smiling and starting to show me their self as they are. And it was very nice for me as a person who can observe it, but it was absolutely nice and a pleasure for them. It was surprised me. When I started to ask, especially women, did you have the photo session? 80% of them said, no, because I'm not a model. Mm-hmm. I said, why not? Because I'm not a model. I am not enough good to have. I am too fat. Maybe give me some months. I will lose some kilo that I will come. I am not so beautiful to be in the photo. And they're afraid about how they look on the photos. It was me, because for many years I work as a researcher in the international company. I started to make my own research. I started to talk with women before process of photography, during and after. And I create the method, support method to build proper self-confidence. It was a long time to create the name because it was something about beauty, but not a beauty to going to the hairdresser or to makeupist to make something for you that it's common and it's okay. But the truth is this method, it's more about the feeling.
How you internalize it.
Yes. Because even if you are almost perfect, like, you know, the model, your feeling could be opposite.
Yeah, completely.
And it depends from you, from your behaviors, needs and habits. I think it depends from your family. How you grew up, with which sentence in your mind. Mm-hmm. That it's really, really important to have feeling that you enough beauty, enough good. And photography, the process of photography can show it. Mm-hmm. Normally, when the person has proper self-confidence, they said, okay, I can have the photo session with you. Why not? It could be nice. The people with low self-confidence, even if they have 20, they are thin, nothing happened with them, said, no, absolutely no. For camera hate me, I don't like looking for myself and absolutely don't want to show the others. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. And that's the group that I would like to work.
Yeah.
Because I would like to change them. And it's happened. The project that I wrote with the support of Erasmus Plus fundings, it was this process we can observe in Poland, in Spain and in Finland. And we make the research. And this project was dedicated to mothers, especially mothers of people with disability. Fathers, because of course they exist, not so much, but still they exist. And adult people with disabilities and the staff working with them.
You mentioned that these people that you used to photograph were, I mean, regular people like us. How was it like working with these people? And how did you feel personally, like seeing this change from, oh, I don't want to be in front of the camera, to accepting? And like, how receptive were they, like as a group in general? Like, did you have like any particular case where someone didn't really want to participate, like in the beginning or in the end?
You know, from the research, we have the result that this method is better for regular people, not people with disability, because regular people have more complexes and they try to change themselves to be more perfect, from the reason that we use a lot of cosmetics. We, of course, it's the whole market that working about it, to buying more. We have the plastic surgeon. We would like to change our image, our face, our body.
Mm-hmm.
People with disabilities, I think they grew up that they are not perfect. The motivation to be perfect is not so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe exist, but not so strong. Mm-hmm. And maybe they know that they are not going to be perfect, that always will be something
missing or different.
Yes, missing or different. And maybe it's okay for them.
Yeah.
But for regular people, especially now with the pushing your motivation to use cosmetics, to be look perfect, to have diets, to be
your best self.
Yes.
It puts a lot of pressure on people. Yes.
That's the method is, it's easy, the truth is, because we giving the knowledge about their self.
Mm-hmm.
In the schools, we learn about the history, about our countries, about chemistry. But the truth is, when I asking Peter, what do you know about yourself? It's a silence. It's a different and very...
And no one wants to share it.
Difficult question.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I would like to say something, but I haven't got...
The words even,
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, that in this method, we just help to recognize yourself. It's very important to... we use some psychological games individually or working in the groups that describe you as a person. We use the color topology. We use the, we give them information about the shape of body. It doesn't matter that you are thin or not. You have this shape. And for example, some clothes or some stylization is good for you or not good for you. But yeah, we are still, for example, the TV companies, when they produce the films or advertising or the people in TV, they use it. Normal people don't use it. Why not? It's a very common knowledge, very nice knowledge. And when you know that your color is, I don't know, dark blue or light blue, it's better, it's more ecological, and it's create and build proper self-confidence. Because you know what you need and what fit to you. And the process of photography is very important from the beginning and in the end, because we just, you need to break the barrier that someone can make a photo to you and publish it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't create the photography with the makeup specialist. We try to make natural photography and talk about it.
Yeah, because you showed me already some photos, and I will put the link to your website on the description. You showed me that in some of the photos, you had this really beautiful makeup art in people's face in the photos. And you were, I mean, in Lapland and in Spain, and like you adapted to the culture as well. Why do you think it's so important to use art in building self-confidence?
Because art is not perfect. Art, it's creativity. Art, it's a freedom. You can do everything you want with your face. You can, put some creative idea and it's perfect. Because, for example, if you have the session, photo session with the makeup specialist, everything needs to be perfect. Light, makeup, the hairdresser, everything, Here, when we use the culture elements or heritage elements from the clothes, from the nature, you can use everything you want. You can be creativity. And even if your face is not like a model, could be fantastic. That's the point. That's the fun. That's the pleasure. And that's the result. And you can show yourself in the other way. If you would like to be as a strong man with face makeup as a warrior, for example, you can do it. That's your imagination about yourself. If you would like to be the ice queen, you can do it, because you don't need to have art university. You can just take your pencils and the face painting and you can do it. You can do it once, you can do it twice. You can just have fun and create
yourself.
And discover
what you like as well.
Yes.
Like how you feel the best.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. I wanted to finalize our conversation. How has this project impacted you personally? And like, have you felt a change in your self-confidence through like being part and managing and organizing this project?
Wow. It's my child. I dream about it because I'm not artist and I'm not a photographer even, that I combine everything and create something. And it's very important for me that people like it. People join to these workshops. And I really feel good and proud of myself that I'm prepare something good and it's good for people. And it's fun. And when we had the photo exhibitions, and it's important to publish these portraits, and the main models are the people from the project, that mothers, for example, I was proud because they were proud. When they came with their beautiful dresses. They feel really beautiful because they were models. They invite the families. They can observe them. And it was something that really increased self-confidence a lot of people in one place. And I can felt it. Felt like
this energy.
Yes, I felt this energy. And yeah, for me, it changed me a lot, because if you really dream about something and you really would like to do something and you feel that it's good, you can do it. You always find the people find you. You always search something that helps you to do it. It was my dream, and I was really surprised because we had 6 or even 7 exhibitions so far. And it's not my exhibition like a photographer. It's our exhibitions, because it's a common thing.
All the participants.
Yeah, because participants were the face painting, they prepared the scenography. Not only me made a photography, and the main goal, they were the main characters of it. This exhibition was not for me, it was for them.
And what does the future hold? Like, how could you, like, how can other people take part? And what's next for this project? Do you have anything already?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about individual sessions, because I think some people need individual meetings, and I would like to have individual meeting one by one, that it will be psychological photography session will be in Warsaw when I leave. Yes, I would like to work with women. I would like to work and conduct this project with women with special needs, with refugees, because it's diversity. We can learn a lot. And with women, they have problem with violence, because the self-confidence, I think, increase their possibility to protect themselves, to be stronger, to feel better, to feel more beauty. But in this case, mean feel more stronger. That, yes, I think that I'm going to prepare some trainings about it. You can invite me as a trainer, not only in Erasmus Plus, that we can do something together. But yes, this project is with Spanish and Finnish participant was the first one, but absolutely not the last one.
For sure. I'm excited for what's about to come next. And to finish off, we usually ask one question. What would you want a new Europe to look like?
You know, at that moment, I definitely, my wish is to have a peace in Europe, especially in my region. Yeah. I'm thinking about Ukraine and people that they have a real war. Yeah. That's the first wish. The second one, I really would like to have more tolerance for ourselves, for other people, of course, too, but ourselves too. I think that we live in some times that we heard around us in the TV, in media, be better, do most things, go, be stronger. Sometimes just I think we need to stop and say, okay, I'm enough. I'm enough to be like I am, as a woman, as a mother, as a person. Then I wish to everybody in Europe to just love each other. But the first, love yourself. And please remember that we are not perfect. Perfect is boring.
Okay, thank you so much for these words. It's really beautiful. And I would want to continue talking about it. I really would like to ask you about like how you would see like this project related to Ukrainian women in Poland, and how you could incorporate, like how you could maybe deal with the trauma and feeling, well, some sense of normalcy or rebuilding their confidence. But I guess we have that for another time, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
And yes.
Yes, I have some idea about the project with Ukrainian, because their culture and their clothes and their flower crowns are so beautiful that I really dream to do this project with Ukrainians.
So we have something to look forward to. And yeah, it was a pleasure having you on this podcast. Thank you to everyone who listened.
Thank you.
I will put your website on the show notes. Please check all the photos, the beautiful photos with the stories of the people.
And read the description of the photos.
Exactly. Because each photo has a description. Yeah, just explore and be more kind to yourself, I would say.
Smile to yourself more often.
Yeah. And see you next time.
See you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Wow.